Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
and that was our very own Hatter's song, sung and music played by Shout Even Shy. I love that song, and I hope you did too. And we are here this Good Friday evening on Blog Talk Radio, Team of Voices Radio. And we are a team of voices, and we belong to our parent poetry site, allpoetry.com, which is the largest poetry site in the world. And we're here tonight, and we're going to talk about vacations. But before we do that, I would like to say thank you to Deborah Lee, who is our creator and producer of all of these radio blog shows. And she's the brains and the brawn behind the scenes and in front of the scenes and beside and underneath and on top and everywhere. And I want to say thank you again to her for all she does for us. And we just happen to have Mr. Hatter himself here, the writer of that song that you just heard. And how are you, Monsieur Chapeau?
I'm getting better, day to day, recovering.
Good. Yeah, you've been through a bit of a rough time, and I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm glad you called in tonight. And we are going to talk about vacations tonight. And did you bring any vacation information to the show this evening?
Actually, I'm in the middle of a block. With everything going on and dealing with the soreness and pain, I haven't been able to be too creative. But need to support yourself.
You know what I did?
I
had six verses written. And the next, and I went and I did, I don't know what, I touched something on my keyboard and it was absolutely gone. It's probably, I've done that about six times over the years, and I was so upset by it because I was just about finished this six-verse poem, and I cannot find it anywhere. So I'm going to go through some of my old stuff because my vacation place to go is, and I have never been there yet, is Ireland, but I have a few poems about Ireland, so I'm going to read those instead. Yeah. So where is your do you have a dream vacation spot?
You know, I've often thought about that. I've always, through my life, I always wanted to go to Australia and to see the Northern Lights. So Alaska, probably.
Yeah, that would be good. That'd be great. Excellent. I think Alaska is a place that is very special. I don't know that I would want to live there all the time because of the 6 months of darkness, but in the very tiny, tiny short summers. But it would certainly be a nice place to go for a cruise to see that part of the world. There's something very alluring about it, and I'm sure it's beautiful. You must have seen snow before, have you had her, being in California? Have you ever gone any place where you saw, like, a large amount of snow?
Well, yeah, we have the Sierra Nevadas just east of me.
Okay.
So
and they have snow.
Yeah, so Alpine Meadows and Mount Rose, the Heavenlies.
You know, you taught me something today. I didn't know that.
What's that?
You think when I think of California, I think of beaches all the time.
No, we're a pretty narrow state. We're really long, but we have the Diablo Range at the coast where I'm at, and then just east is the Sierra Mountains.
Wow.
You know, Lake Tahoe and Reno, and have to go over
all
the pass.
That I've heard of all my life, but never been there. I think the most, let me see, how I've been to a few of the states on the East Coast anyways, and I've been in the South. I've been to Louisiana and Florida, North Carolina, and then the upper states like New York State and Maine and Massachusetts, Vermont, like that. Tell me the places that you've been.
Oh, not a whole lot. We would travel back to Idaho and Nebraska when my dad was alive and we were young. Been to Northern California and Oregon many times. Been into Nevada, of course. But only until I was an adult. I had won a writing contest and got invited to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So I flew back there once. It was miserable. I was in New York in 2012, I think it was. Flew to New York. Stayed there for about 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
But other than that, not a big traveler.
No way.
I wanted to. Busy taking care of the family, you know, and that was going to come later. But.
Yeah. I've done traveling like within Canada and outside of the country, other than the United States. I've just been to the Dominican and Jamaica. That's about the size of my travel experiences.
Oh, okay. You know, I always wanted to do the castle tours, Portugal, Spain, France, Germany. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
I'm more of a homebody. More of a homebody, I think.
I don't like to travel as far as like flying. I don't like to get there. Once I'm there, I'm fine. But I'm a nervous traveler, and so I would prefer to get there just like you blink your eyes and you're there, like I Dream a Genie. What's that?
Just go to Google Earth. Go anywhere you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think, well, my place that I would want to go to is Ireland. I would love to go there and stay there. I'd like to go there for a month or two and just tool around everywhere and go see, you know, the local pubs for the music there's a lot of places that I would like to go and see. The history of Ireland is interesting to me. I think any place that you travel to, you should take a look at the history of it and see how it got there, how the people got there, and what it's all about. I think that's part of the interesting. Part of what I was writing tonight earlier was that the Celts, how they got to Ireland, they got there via Austria. And then, like, way, 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 way back. And then the Vikings came over and for a while. And then, of course, the British were always trying to conquer them. But I found that really interesting that the people, and that's where the red hair comes in from the Vikings. And I do believe we have Sweet Pea on the phone here. Just hang on a second. Welcome, Miss P. Is it you? Because it's me.
It is. Is it you? Are you sure it's you?
Well, some days I am, but today's one of those days. We have Hatter with us as well. We're just shooting the breeze here.
Hatter. Shooting the breeze.
We are, but I'm glad you've called in, and I know you've brought something, and we were just talking about our favorite places to go to, and mine, of course, is Ireland. And Hatter, why don't you tell Sweet where you... He says he's a homebody for the most part, but he would like to go where?
Well, I always wanted to see the Northern Lights, so I planned sometime to get to Alaska, and always dreamed of getting to Australia just because it was the other side of the planet.
That's cool. I want to go. Yeah, I want to go to Greece. That's my big thing. I mean, that's Greece and Rome, like the beginning of civilization. That's some place I really want to go. Like the beginning of English language.
We're just talking about how interesting and important it is if you're going to travel to know a little bit about the place you're going to, the history of it and all.
Absolutely.
You've got to do that. You've got to know what you can do and what you cannot do.
Right.
You can get into trouble. Because if something is okay to do here, you don't want to do it there.
Yeah. You can get into a lot of trouble for sure if you're not behaving. But we're very behaving people. The three of us.
Yeah.
It's not so much that as going against the custom or saying the wrong thing or just ordering something. You can insult people and not realize it.
Yeah.
I was with I met a lady from London back in New York several years ago, and we were talking one time and I can't remember what we were doing. I said, don't get your knickers in a bunch. And she oh, can't say that. I go,
you didn't like that.
English woman. I go, you can't. Okay.
There would be some things that would be a little bit not kosher, let's say.
Well, just phrases. Like if I was to say, you pissed me off, in England, that means a totally, totally different thing. From my understanding.
Yeah. There's a lot of different things that mean different things. Like I remember saying, like, if somebody was going to an appointment, I'd say, well, how are you making out? How did you make out of that? And it means something completely different to other people. Means how did you do? But in some other areas, it means something else. So it's rather interesting, yeah. So, sweet, have you got anything new and exciting to tell us?
Well, I told you last night, but I walked a 20-minute mile, so that's new. But that's like my biggest accomplishment in months, well, in years. So I'm excited about that. My puppy is coming along very well. He's a bit of a shit bird right now, but he is coming along. What else? I get to see my son tomorrow, so I'm very, very excited about that. I haven't seen him since, you know, he got COVID. And, you know, he's alive and he's well, and I get to see his face. So that excites me. And, And I'm dying Easter eggs with my 3-year-old grandson tomorrow. So that ought to be fun.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
So I think we're going to have a relatively quiet evening this evening. And so I'm just wondering, I think what I'm going to do is start off the evening. Because, you know, we start off like this, and then the next thing you know, a whole bunch of people call the last 40 minutes, and then you hardly have time to get through the poems, you know. So I'm going to start it off. I was telling Hatter that I had 6 verses of my poem. I was just polishing it off, and it completely disappeared, and I could not find it. So I was very, very upset because I spent a great deal of time writing this. And so it's gone and nowhere to be found. So I'm going to read. I have a few poems about Ireland, so I'm just going to make do with that, which I was... Hopefully it's not going to be too disappointing for everybody. So this one is called Across the Sea in Ireland. And this is what I'm going to put it in the room so that you guys can follow along. And here it is. So I have to tell you as well that today was a special day today. Because I have 3 daughters, and it was my oldest daughter's birthday today. And I had her when I was very young. And so she had her 50th birthday today. I couldn't believe it. And I was 16 when she was born, so do the math. Yes, I'm that old, but I look great. And... it really kind of shocked me because I think when she was born, everybody was saying, oh, my gosh, you know, you're so young to have a baby. And true, it was a true story. It was just one of those things. And now I'm thinking, I say she's 50, and I realize how very, very close in age that we were at the time of her birth. You know what I mean? So it was really, so we had a birthday party for her here today, so... That was really nice. And I'm going to do before I read that, I'm going to post a picture of she and I this afternoon, and just because I can, you know what I'm saying? Where did that go?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, when you want to find it, you never, ever can. Let me see. Oh, here it is. Okay.
Never.
Got it. Never. So I'm going to post, and we have our special masks on, so it's kind of a fun picture. And here she is, she and Mama. Know if that went already or not, but
is it across the sea in Erin?
Yes, it is. But I'm just sending you a picture first. There's my daughter and I for her 50th birthday.
Aww,
cute, eh?
Ah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I like it too. She's a good girl. All right, so here we go, Across the Sea in Erin.
Folklore spins a story from centuries ago. There was a forest enchanted by wee folk. Across the sea in Erin, tiny fairies lived. It's said if you sit completely still and listen, wee folk will come out from hiding and show themselves to you. Be polite, speak softly and smile. They respond to kindness, too. Soon you'll see the forest floor transform. Doors and tree trunks open. Rooms are set aglow. Twig furniture lashed together with grapevines. Miniature beds with rose petal blankets. So pleasing to the eye. You'll see cobblers and tailors, blacksmiths and wheelwrights, busy with tiny tools to make boots and belts and coats and spokes. Sometimes a pair of shoes are made for local humans. Once finished, the shoes are sneaked into the child's room. In the morning, they proudly wear their new shoes to school. Arriving in the enchanted woods, I sat quietly and waited. One by one, they appeared just like folklore stated. Tiny and endearing, dressed in forest finery, we mothers and we fathers with even tinier wee babies. Breezes blew across wee folks' land. It carried my spirit's aura. They turned and looked. They knew I would never harm them. Remember what I have told you. Be still, be quiet, and wait a while. Wee folk and fairies will see you. They'll invite you in their enchanted forest, where you'll learn love and kindness are life's true meaning. End poem.
Wee babies.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of that, the story of the two sisters, I think it was, that faked. It was around the turn of the century, 19th century, 1900. That photography is just, yeah, they faked.
Yeah.
They cut out little fairies, put them on wire or something. Had half the country believe in it.
I remember that, but wasn't that? See, now I'm going to say that was a very true story.
That what?
I thought it was a true story.
Well, it was a true story that they faked it.
That they faked it. Okay.
Yeah, they had pictures. They took pictures somehow. I can't remember what year. I'm sure I can look it up.
Yeah, I remember they did it. They made a movie of it, actually.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I remember seeing the movie when I was younger. So let me just check the studio. It's just us three. So what did you think, Sweet?
I really like it. I think it has that enchanted kind of, you know, the cobbler in Sir Busy giving the wishes of the wee folks, you know, happy, and it's got that, you know, Irish spin that of fairies, and I love your background, the dancing trees. I love that you'll see cobblers and tailors, blacksmiths and wheelwrights, busy with tiny tools to make boots, belts, and coats. Pair of shoes are made for local humans. You know, how they sneak in the children's room. I really, it's got that folklore, enchanted beauty that so many of the Irish tales have. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's really pretty and gorgeous, and I can just see the little imps and the little fairies dancing about, and I really do. It's just got that enchanting folklore of the Irish tale.
That's one of the things that I feel like I would like to go there for, just to hear some of the stories, you know, and just be present in that moment. I thought it was, I think it would be a great thing to experience. And you never know, you know, you kiss the Blarney Stone and go into the woods and you never know what you're going to find. So I'm just going to say we have just a few pens to read, 1, 2, 3, 4, and two of them are SoundClouds. And so Deborah's got one coming in. Stephen has a SoundCloud, and Gerald has a SoundCloud, and Poet Frank's going to come in and hopefully read his. And then you two can have yours. So do you have some? Did you want to read something, Hatter, or would you like Sweet to go first, or does anybody have to leave early? Or if we could be out of here early enough that we don't have to, if there's not very many, because it's going to be quiet evening, I do believe.
I might have to break away in a while. I'm not sure how long, though. I'll have to go look for something.
Okay. So, Sweet, would you like to put something up that you've got that you want to throw in that's similar or some kind of variation of a vacation or a story of a place that you'd like to go?
Yes, I would love to do that. Let me put mine up. La, la, la. So I did not put it on the board. I'm sorry. Come on. Oh, there it is. Ugh. Couldn't find the paste button. So here it is. A little different than real vacations, but it's where I went.
Oh.
You asked where I wanted to go. So this is my Wonderland vacation. I wish to go to Wonderland and prove make-believe is true, to see trees that are full of cotton candy leaves and pink, listening to squirrels purse at their sticky feet in vain, snap my fingers to birds singing hip-hop for tips on cold black shining streets, to watch the horses run on cherry bubblegum tracks and gossip with the roses wearing their Kentucky Derby hats. I want to drink mushroom tea by the rushing River Red and watch the fish jump, dive in, and teach their young to swim. To curl up with the frogs, listen to a prince tell tales of an ugly kiss. In Wonderland, my dream is to converse with the Maddest Hatter, to listen to the man who makes this world matter, even if he's sadder. I wish to hold his hand and wipe his lonely tears before he shatters. I wish to go to Wonderland and prove make-believe is true, for in my mind I'm trapped behind the binds of leather, and in between the pages white, I cannot write my way out. End poem.
Wow. I love this. Yeah,
well.
Hatter, what do you think? I'll
make a comment. This is great. We get back up there here. Any story that's been told, I think Wonderland, everybody has a piece of it in their mind tucked away. The place to you go back when you're young, when your imagination is still part of you or your world. This is very good, 3P. I was smiling the whole time.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Nobody
I really
love. Sorry. Because it's frogs anymore. That's why they go princes.
I thought that your story was really great. I loved the inline rhyme and the rhyming verses. And there were a lot of lines that I really liked, but I liked this really well. The second verse, I'll read the whole thing. Snap my fingers to the birds singing hip-hop for tips on coal black shining streets to watch the horses run on cherry bubblegum tracks and gossip with the roses wearing their Kentucky Derby hats. I love how that felt reading those last two lines in particular slid off my tongue really well, and I really liked the sound of it. It just really was wonderful. And the whole thing was very vivid images. I want to drink mushroom tea, you know, and to watch the fish jumping and then dive in and teach their young to swim. The whole thing was very, very creative, a creative write, a wonderful story. And then it became a little bit sad in the second last verse in Wonderland. My dream is to converse with the Mad Hatter, the Maddest Hatter, to listen to the man who makes the world matter, even if he's sadder. I wish to hold his hand and wipe his lonely tears before he shatters. That was very heart-wrenching. And I can say virtually the same thing, that it just was very touching. I loved it. And I want to go to Wonderland and prove make-believe is true. I like that. I love this whole piece. I'm putting it in my list because I really think it is a wonderful piece. And so May, now Hatter, I could ask you a question, but you don't have to answer it if you don't want to. But I wanted to ask you specifically, what did you think of that second last verse?
I don't know how to answer that. I mean, it's a great piece. It adds on to the Wonderland as he sees it. You suggested that I reflect on it as it was written about me.
Yeah.
Did you say that I'm sad.
Yeah.
I'd like to hold Sophie's hand. Sure. Hold her hand.
Oh, lovely comment. Lovely.
I do like the part that she couldn't write her way out. She's bound between the leather. That was very creative.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really excellent, sweet. It was a beautiful piece. It really, really was.
Good.
My Wonderland vacation. I'm just going to go check back in studio. So I'm going to, at this time, oh dear, did I lose my slot? Yes, I did. That's what you get for not paying attention. So I'm going to put up Stephen's SoundCloud. Oh, I have to get his poem first before I do that, so you guys can read along and get the link to it anyways. And here is the link for the poem. And I'll put it in there. Sorry, I'm a little bit slow tonight. I had a nap earlier, but it didn't seem to do too much. All right, here is the link for the poem. And then I'm going to, as soon as you guys tell me that you see it, I am going to ring the bell. No, I'm not going to ring the bell. I'm going to push the button to have it play. And that is Stephen's, and here it goes, kids.
How I'd Love to See Green by Stephen 76. How I'd love to go to Ireland, ancestry land of mine, to see the sights and smell the air and really take my time. Darby O'Gill and The Quiet Man are the closest I have come, but movies aren't the real thing, and they leave me feeling numb. I'd love to go see Castle Keeps and kiss the Blarney Stone, to walk on through the fields of green and maybe call it home. So perhaps if I can scrimp and save, of course, my lady I'll take. I'll get to the place my kin called home, and our own house we will make. And boom.
Oh, that's great. I really glad that he wants to go to Ireland too. There's something about, I mean, I'm glad that he talked about the ancestry of his, and to have that, it's not really a longing, but there's a wonder to it, that it is home. He's American, I'm Canadian, and different other nationalities that hail from that Emerald Isle. Just like it's really, it is a going home. It is a place that's where we came from. And I suppose that's why I want to go back and see. I don't go back. I've never been there, but my ancestors were both on both sides of my family are from there. So I thought this was really great, piece, Stephen, and it gave me a longing to go back. I'll get to the place my kin called home. That's really, really great. What did you think, Hatter?
Yeah, it's almost a longing to get back home, find out where your ancestral roots are.
Mm-hmm. And, Sweet, what'd you think?
I think it would be a wonderful journey. I think this poem just resonates from his heart. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
I do believe we have a visitor on the phone from Australia. Could it possibly be Sir AP?
It might be me, Lady A, yes. How are you?
Good. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Have you been listening at all to the poetry so far? We've only had a few.
No, I was actually writing, Lady A. I apologize. I wasn't listening. I just wrote, and now I'll be with you for a little bit, if that's okay.
Excellent. So are you in a hurry? Like, you won't be able to stay the whole time?
No. It's the Easter break here. So, and, you know, I spent...
Well, that's
half
true.
Of Good Friday, I'm
in
the
yes.
United States, so, you know.
You're
I
in the
worked
United
half
States?
Day for my holiday yesterday. No, I was on the phone for half a day Good Friday for the United States. Yeah, so since I've worked
right.
half one of my holidays, I think I can be okay.
Well, that's excellent that you can stay with us. And
yes.
And you did bring something. So what I'm going
have.
To do is... since you can stay a little while, and Sweet already read hers, which was great, and Hatter's still working on his, and we played Stephen's SoundCloud, I think what I'm going to do, just so perhaps there'll be a larger audience for us when you read, and when Hatter's finished, I'm going to play Gerald's SoundCloud.
Good thinking.
All right, and then... let me see. I have to go and find. Okay, here we go. I had this all organized to flip back and forth on, but I lost everything tonight when I was trying to finish my pen, my write, and so it just didn't quite work out that way. But in any case, here we go. We have... Gerald Green's poem, and it goes into the room now, and I'll play his SoundCloud as well. And here it is. And it is called The Ultimate Vacation. I keep getting lost in here. Okay, so I'm going to play his SoundCloud. If everybody's got that poem at their fingertips.
Yep.
1, 2, 3.
I can
see. I'm going to play. Yep. Here we go.
Ultimate Vacation, written and read by Gerald Green. I'd like an exotic vacation where sunsets give dreamy sensation and beaches provide defense from the tide, resulting in fun and elation. The place would be warm and inviting, the women voluptuous, exciting. Fresh breezes prevail, supporting a sail upon ocean's waves so enticing. Great food would be served every meal in settings romantic, surreal. We'd dance and we'd sing, enjoying our fling. I'd savor how you'd make me feel. Your kisses would intoxicate me, each drink making me act more carefree. I'd get just for you a sexy tattoo, because your appeal makes me crazy. End poem.
Oh, that was great. A little, I really like that. I don't think I've read anything like that from Gerald before, as far as being a little frisky there and flirty, I would say. And I very much like that. And, I mean, when you think about an exotic vacation out on the beach and the sun and the music and a few drinks and good food, it's just sort of a natural process of things. And I really liked it. I thought it was, let me see, where did it say? I savor how you'd make me feel. I like that. I think that's a really good line. And your kisses would intoxicate me, each drink making me act more carefree. I get just for you a sexy tattoo because your appeal makes me crazy. You know he was writing that about me, don't you, sweet?
Oh, yes.
So what did you think?
Oh, I loved it. I would forego the sexy tattoo because you never know what you do on vacation when you're drunk. It always haunts you. But other than that, this is great.
Yeah.
I just really love the way he writes. Like, I don't think there's anything quite as funny and as cute. I love each drink making me act more carefree. Isn't that the truth? I like
yeah.
how I'd savor how you make me feel, and it's just exactly what the way a vacation should feel.
Yeah.
I think men should be just as voluptuous, though.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That is a good line, too. I really like that one. Yes. I agree. Voluptuosity is a word that I've created, and I think that that's a good way to start a vacation is to have some wonderful female with a lot of voluptuosity. Now, AP, what did you think of
yes.
this delicious poem?
Well, it was in a limerick form, wasn't it, Lady A? I mean, it wasn't five lines, but it was certainly in limerick form, in the sense
mm-hmm.
that it had the three rhyming lines and the internally rhymed third line, which in a limerick, of course, would go to lines 3 and lines 4. And so I don't think I've seen Gerald have a go at limerick form before, and this just sort of floated off the pen quite nicely, I thought. I think he was having fun. I think the tattoo at the end, I think, is a nice touch.
Yeah.
And I think I enjoyed it. It was a good fun.
It was. It really was. Thank you for that. And what about you, Hatter? What did you think of it?
Well, you sort of freaked me out saying that I was finishing mine, so I figured I'd better do it, so I wasn't able to follow along. It sounded great.
That's all right. And Deb just sent a message. She's not able to. She's not able to call in, so I'll be reading her piece. I think that I got to check her message to see. I think that's what she said. Let me see what she has said. And then I think what I can, yeah, she's asked me to read it. So before I do that, I'm going to read another poem that I wrote about Ireland, because I, AP, I was just telling them earlier that I was finishing off my 6-verse poem, and then the whole thing
yes.
disappeared. So I was very upset by
oh,
that.
Shit.
So I've written a few poems about Ireland and fairies and whatnot. So I have another one about fairies, and I'm going to put it in the room. Oh, Hatter, you got yours in there already. Okay. Did you want to go? Did you want to go ahead?
Yeah. And then I'm going to have to pick up a little while. Hopefully I'll be able to call back before the end of the show.
Okay. Hi, Frank. Frank's out there. Is he on the phone? Let me see. Not yet. Okay, Hatter, go ahead and read, and we can follow along.
Okay. I'm going to find it there. There are empty pails and wishing wells. That's the best I could do. That's not it. Dang it. Keep grabbing yours. Hey, it's jumping on me. Jumping or can I grab something? Come on. Empty pails and wishing wells. Despite the starlights pass me by and creep into my room, empty pails and wishing wells from rocky bottom tombs. Of the holes to bury those whose blinded eyes won't see the climbing of the purple moon and hunger that it feeds. And heard you write the lines that read the staining of the grays, its tinted blacks and silver stones that shade the frozen gaze. If I wrote the tales of yesterday upon the chapel walls, those that passed will know the names that walked these empty halls.
That's a good
Thanks.
Poem, Hatter. It was, you wrote this 5 years ago, and I'm trying to read what that little sign says on your picture. Here is the old wishing well where many... I can't read
coins.
It because I... Hey, go ahead,
where many
AP,
coins
read.
Were tossed. Yeah, they say there's magic working here and no wishes ever lost. I close my eyes, make a wish, toss my coin into the well. You ask me what my wish was. Oh, no, I'll never tell.
Oh, okay, that was really nice. I thought it was very... it was a kind of a sad poem, but it was... Your excellent rhyme is always there and never fails to be music in my ears. And I thought it was a great piece of rhyme and cadence. And but again, if I wrote the tales of yesterday's upon the chapel walls, those that pass will know the names that walked the empty halls. It's just sort of an eerie, ghostly effect with those last couple of lines.
Yeah.
What did you think, AP?
Yeah, I think I really liked the picture, actually, and I thought poem was quite whimsical but very nicely attached to the image in the sense that you know, you never tell anybody what your wish is and you throw the coin away as it goes, and it's interesting to think about that in relation to people and who we come across and how we intersect with people, and I like the thought behind it.
Mm-hmm. Very good and sweet. What do you think?
I found it superb. Think of all the wishes that went to the well. I wonder how many that were never granted or those that were. I love, if I wrote the tales of yesterday's upon the chapel walls, those that pass will know the names that walk the empty halls. I mean, I think that's just an amazing thought process. If you throw something into the wishing well, you know, whose tale is it, and who wrote it, and did it happen, or was it just an emptiness, or any of that. And of course, it's the rhyme and everything is very Dr. Seuss, which I assuming was the Chaos's contest, and you did very well, obviously. But the thought process of what you're talking about, to the wishing well, and you know, purple moon and hunger feeds it, and you know, silver stone shades that frozen gaze. I just like the concept of, as you're talking of the wish and where it goes and who's responsible for it. And I really like that whole thought process. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I was wondering how that all got started.
It was brilliant.
Thank you.
You're our favorite Mad Hatter poet, see? That's how it works.
Does anybody know how that wishing well started? I mean, is there a story behind that?
Behind the wishing, the history of the wishing well?
Yeah. Yeah, throw a coin in a well for a wish.
I'm looking it up right as we speak, what it says. All right. It was from European folklore to describe wells where it was thought that any spoken wish would be granted. The idea that a wish would be granted came from the notion that the water housed deities or had been placed there as a gift from the gods.
So like an artesian well.
From, let me see, it's from the, what does it say here? From the, I lost my thought, just a sec. The Romano-British mythology. And they threw coins in there while making wish to the goddess of Coventina. Oh, I wrote a poem about Coventina. Wow. So there you have it. There was a lot of ancient folklore, mythology that sort of thing. So, AP, do you have any interesting comment with regard to wishing wells or such?
I wish that I had more wishing wells that I could wish upon, Lady A, but unfortunately there seems to be a shortage going around over here. So, yeah, no, I don't really.
Well, I thought perhaps because you are all-knowing and all-wise, I thought maybe you might have had something tucked in your pocket just...
I wish I did, Lady A. I would share it with you at the drop of a coin, but I don't, unfortunately.
Drop of a coin.
All right. Well, listen, I'm just going to check the studio again. Oh, we have a caller. And I do believe this is Frank. Hello, and welcome to A
Hello.
Soft Place to Fall. This is Frank.
Hello there. Hello there, Lady A.
How are you?
Hello, Frank.
Good. Hello there, my friend.
Frank, you were in the company of AP and Sweet and Hatter and myself. So welcome.
Yeah, I've got about 20 minutes or so I can be on.
Okay, did you want to read your piece first then? Do you want to read and go? Or?
Well, whatever you want, I mean, Lydia. I mean, if you've got pieces there, I mean, I don't want
to... Well, I was just going to read another one of mine. If you're in a hurry, we can pick those up, no problem. So it's your wish is my command. What would you like to do?
Well, if you want, I'll go ahead and read it then.
All right. And I'm going to put it in a room unless you've got it right there handy. Let me see.
No. You realize I've got so many things open here in the windows here, so many groups here. I've got to get into...
Good in the hood, as they say.
No. Good.
going to go back into the room to put it in for all of us to join. And there it goes. Okay.
All right. I've got it here. I know your theme was more of a vacation area, and this is really more of an idyllic. It is a vacation place, although it is the place where I spend many years living. It still is the idyllic place for me in my memory. So I wrote this piece here a month ago for, I believe it was a Sky show. And this was a piece here, because I couldn't think of anything really to write. I thought about writing a piece, but I said, well, you know, this piece here is befitting to what you're asking for, because it is my idyllic place. I would love to go more. And it's called, this is a place, it's a poem called The River of My Dreams. It's based on my thoughts here, inspired in the Guadalquivir River in Cortala in Spain. So it goes like this. By the shore of the river I adore, I breathe the fresh waft of the day, smelling the fragrance of the jasmines, permeating the beauty of its substance. I take my morning stroll at leisure, with a faint grin on my countenance, and recall the fond memories I had when I first crossed the bridge of lovers. A special place in my heart I cherish, where I feel like flying so high above, with the white doves by the old tower, near the splendid castle of my tales. I can see the fields of amber green, and see the vast mountains on top. From beyond the scenic view I stand, as I embrace the sounds of nature. I could forever stare at the clouds, and see the celestial color of heaven, as the Spanish wonders of Córdoba delight my winds and imagination. And I could only remain there by the river that bore me, when I sought to be heard, and I could touch its purity. And I would never leave its serenity, nor dare to say a sad farewell to the river of my memories, which is the place where I sigh. I could be so far away now, but time cannot erase easily the lovely days I had enjoyed, and evenings I stared at the stars. 'Tis the river of my dreams. In the poem.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You know, as I read along with you, I felt like this is how I feel about the ocean. And I can relate to it entirely. And, of course, you've got this beautiful poetic style that you write in, and it's just so beautiful. And every line is really, I take my morning stroll at leisure with a faint grin of my countenance and recall the fond memories I had when first I crossed the bridge of lovers. And then you just go on to talk about how you cherish the river and the atmosphere and the flowers and the colors and the mountains, and everything is so visual and so vividly visual. And it's just a beautiful poem, and I love, I could forever stare at the clouds and see the celestial color of heaven, with the Spanish wonders of Cordoba, to my delight, my whims and imagination. Just a beautiful piece. It's just gorgeously written, and it puts you right on that river of your dreams,
yeah.
And it was very lovely.
Now, you could see at the bottom of the video there, you can see more of the atmosphere of Córdoba. You do tend to, it is a beautiful city. If anyone gets a chance to go up there, I recommend it. It's a beauty that I regret that I left that place there, unfortunately, for a personal reason. But I always long to return, and I shall return to.
You think that you might return there to live again?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, most of my life was from place to place. Madrid is mostly where I have more memories, but Córdoba as well. Madrid is in the north and Cordoba is in the south. It's in a province called Andalusia. Yes, most definitely. It's not where you're born at. It's where you feel more at home. And this is the place where I feel more at home. Although I have to say Malaga, which is in a little bit toward the coast area, is where I enjoy as well. I just enjoy the whole atmosphere of the province of Andalusia. It is a beautiful place, beautiful province to live in, and I just recommend everyone get a chance to go see the province of Andalusia and get to see Cordoba in particular, because it is beautiful. It is enriched with a tapestry of history that you would just, your mouth would just come, you would just be so enamored with what you see there. I'm not saying it's perfect.
Well, I was just thinking that as you were talking that, you know, any place that we've all ever been, those memories are tucked in our brains. And you can, you know, hearing this poem and then looking at some of the, you know, the picture you have in the front, and then I haven't seen the video yet, but, you know, you have memories of this place and you can visualize it in your head that you were in that particular area. You were on that bridge. You know, just it's pretty exciting. What did you think, AP?
Oh, not really. There's just a beautiful sort of connectivity that comes through in the poem and a sense of place. And, you know, you only get that if you have a really clear picture and image and a genuine fondness and love of what you're writing about. And, you know, clearly in Frank's mind, that's exactly what this place brings to him, and the poem is a straight reflection of that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, just I'll be brief with you. The river itself that I mentioned earlier, the Guadalquivir, it actually stretches out from one side of the province to the other, so it's a very extensive river, much like the Mississippi would be here in the States.
Yeah, we get a real sense of it. That's what I like about the poem. It's got a beautiful personal sense and touch.
Indeed.
Yeah, very.
Thank you very much.
And what about Hatter? Are you still with us?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I wanted to hear Frank. It's remarkable how he writes. You couldn't tell whether this was a memory, a true memory of someplace he'd been, or a memory of a wish to go there.
Because mm-hmm. it is a memory.
Yeah.
It is a memory of times that I experienced there, the years I actually lived there. I lived there for quite a, for, I would say, nearly in between from there, Madrid and Malaga, I would say about roughly 8 to 10 years. I'd say 10 years, I would say. In that little area.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, you don't take for granted when you experience these things. You really don't appreciate them until you're not there anymore. And I'm certain that everyone agrees with me there. When you go to a particular place that you're fond of, you don't realize that after you're not there anymore, that how much you appreciate just the simplicity of that place. You know, I took a lot for granted when I was there. I did, after I went and did a lot of sightseeing and a lot of experience in the city so much, I became so much mundane to just the simplicity of it. And it wasn't until I left it that I actually appreciated its simplicity, its ambience. And I do regret that, but I didn't do more of that in the time that I was there. I appreciate it more. Its value.
How do you pronounce the river? How do you say that?
Well, the river is called Guadalquivir. It's a Spanish word, but it comes from the Arabic word. It means, from Arabic, it's Guadalquivir, which means the great river. The Arabs were there in Spain for nearly 800 years. So if you go to the south of Spain, you see a lot of history from the Arab conquest there, monuments in particular. And this is something that, fortunately, a lot of people in Spain don't want to acknowledge, but the Arabs were there. There's to a certain extent of Berbers and that, but there is a lot of history, rich history there that was provided there by the Arab culture.
That's very interesting, because I remember reading a book one time that it was based on historical facts, and it was with regard to Mexico and how the Spaniards came to Mexico and the history between the two cultures. And it was rather interesting to see. There was a hierarchy, of course, there, and Spain had more of a, how could I say this? They had they brought a different culture, I'm going to say, a different culture to the country of Mexico.
You have to realize that Latin America was predominantly native. They had their own culture, their own language, and that. You know, I am straight up when I say, you know, the conquest and that was a conquest. You know, I'm not going to say that what was done and perpetrated on the Native American population in the Americas was not horrible. It was horrible. But the only distinction that if I can make here is that when people talk about the people of Spain, which should be emphasized here. You know, the majority of the Spaniards back in Spain and those who immigrated to the Americas, the Latin America in particular, weren't populist people. These people who committed all these barbarities, if I can say, of the Spanish ilk, were those of royalty, or those who were of, I would say, the high society, those of the noble, the gentry, or actually the noblemen. Breed of people. So this wasn't really when people talk about what went on. The Spanish people themselves, the majority, were very impoverished people. You know, they never saw really much of any of that pelf of you know, that was stolen from Latin America. They really never saw that. And if you go to, for example, this is a good example, Córdoba. Córdoba, with all due respect, has beautiful cathedrals there, Radier. Beautiful cathedrals. Uh-huh. And all of that, all of those monuments are there. 90% of that is run by the Catholic Church, with all due respect. I don't want to get into that. Very few people from Córdoba ever profit from tourism. They never see a penny or a euro of what is profited there from tourism because it is a higher structure of corruption. It is corruption there. It's unfortunate, but
yeah.
it is.
I think that there's, I guess I wasn't really referring to that because I think you can look at any country that was conquered by another country, experienced all kinds of tragedy and unthinkable things. And so I was referring mostly to the cultural part of Spanish going into Mexico and the differences in the culture more than anything, yeah.
Oh, there is a difference. There is a difference. There is a difference in language, not so much the language, but in the way the language is used, much like I would say AP would say with American English, British English, and also Australian English. There is a difference in the way the language is spoken. There is a difference in certain food, of course. Mexican food is nothing comparative to Spanish food, and so beyond. But there's also the cultures that do bind. The Latin America with Spain are very much, there is a bond there. There is the Hispanic quality there that bonds Latin America with Spain. So there's more positivity, I would think. If you ask people from Latin America and Spain, there's a brotherhood, brethren with them that is more positive, I say, than negative in the culture and so be it. But I do recommend everyone get a chance to go out to Inventure and see Córdoba, you know, and see the wonders of it. And appreciate the city
just
enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
You learn how to do some flamenco as well. It is the cradle of flamenco.
Yeah, it would be okay, Deb is asking me a question here. Oh my goodness, I didn't know it was a song. Let me see. Her piece is
I didn't mean to keep.
No, you're fine. It's just I went to a message and I got to check out a couple of things start of her piece and see what that's all about because it's a little bit of a surprise. She's not able to call in, so she asked me to do the poem for her. So I have to see. Okay. Well, I'm going to give it a try, Deb, and I don't know if I can do it. But I'm going to put this in the room, and I'm going to try to do it justice. and I hope I can. I'm going to put it in the room. It is to the tune of Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And, okay. I hope I do. Deb, I think you should call in. Okay, it's in the room there now. And here it goes, I hope. And it says, drive me down to the seashore. Okay, I have to get it started. Just 1 second. I'm going to put myself on mute. Just guys, you talk for a couple of seconds. I got to run through something. Hatter and Frank, you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Okay, so just talk amongst yourselves for a second. I'm just run through this so I can do justice, okay? Hang on.
No, that's okay. I can feel for you, Lady O. I can feel for you.
Yes,
I was going to say, I was looking for a quote about wishing wells, and I ended up going to Shakespeare. And from All Was Well That Ends Well, that wishing well had not a body in it which might be felt that we the poor are born, whose base the stars do shut up as in wishes, might with effects of them follow our friends and show what we alone must think, which never return us thanks. That's Shakespeare. And then I had to put a quote in from Spike Milligan for the fun of it. I thought I'd begin by reading a poem by Shakespeare, but then I thought, why should I? He never reads any of mine. End quote.
Well, I think I've never been dead for so many years, my friend.
Yes. Well,
you'd have to go to Stratford over there and find them.
Yes, but, you know, I just thought, well, you know, if I'm going to read Shakespeare, I might as well have Spike Milligan commenting on it, because nobody quite knows Shakespeare like Spike Milligan. But anyway,
he was witty. Yes. Witty indeed.
He was. He was a witty man. He was full of great quotes. Actually, I always admire his some of his just silly poems that are just remarkable. You know, on the Ning Nang Nong and these sort of poems that just play with the English language and just do it in such a clever way. Anyway, there you go.
Oh, he was a remarkable bard as well.
Yes, he was.
It's on it.
Yes, he was. Anyways, we are still waiting for Lady A to come back. I suspect she might be doing some singing practice as we speak. So we'll see what happens when she comes back. And
in the meantime, we have frogs tomorrow night, right?
We do have frogs tomorrow night, Hatter. We do. And we have our collaboration from last week and all the poems from last week. So and that should be cool.
What type of frog
can
we have over there, like an ass?
Any type of frog.
No. What type of frogs do you have in Australia, like an ass?
Oh, we have quite a variety. We have rainforests up north. So we have rainforests, and we have frogs in the rainforest, and then we have sort of common frogs that live in sort of the more sort of drier areas. So there's sort of two different types. There's the rainforest frogs, which are beautiful and colourful and clever and all that stuff, and then there's the plain, boring old frogs that sit in most of the country.
Are they poisonous? Are there any other poisonous there?
Oh, yes, there are. Yes, for sure. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Particularly the rainforest frogs, you know, and you can tell by the colour, of course.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I did some reading on that. I know the colours, there's always an indication there against predators. I wasn't really, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know that, to what extent I didn't know that there were that many frogs as much as what you're saying in Australia. Australia, to me, is always more of arid, to a certain extent, on the outskirts.
And you're right, Frank. Almost all of Australia is arid. And then there's, like, up in far north Queensland, there's 2% of the country which has this beautiful rainforest. And it gets, you know, 3 to 4 metres of rain every year, and it's just completely different.
I'd have to see that. If you've got a picture there, I've not seen that. Is Tasmania, can I ask really, really quick, is Tasmania, is it mostly arid, I assume?
Tasmania actually gets less rain than the Australian rainforest up in Queensland. And so the rainforest in Queensland is the one that is, you know, we you know, has all the ferns and frogs and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So if you're into animals and stuff, you want to be up around Cairns and around that part of the world.
Yeah.
I'm back.
All right,
hello,
Lydia.
How are you?
I'm going to try to sing Deb's song, but I don't know if I'm going to do it very well because the second verse kind of threw me off key and everything
else. You can
else.
Do
so
it.
Gonna...
Have you had a practice?
I
you
did.
Can
I
do
practiced.
It, Lydia.
I think I,
well done.
I might have. I don't know. I'm going to. Anyways, I'm going to do my best. It's in the room.
Sometimes
and
practice is good, and sometimes practice is bad, Lady O. You realize that?
I know.
You know, like,
so this
like
is supposed
you,
to be
you,
sounding
you, you
like the take me out to the ball game, and this is by Deborah
Lee,
our illustrious producer, leader, creator, all round jack of all trades, our Jacqueline of all trades, and so here it goes. Take, drive me to the seashore, down to the seashore. Drive me down to the seashore. Cold sun heats the sand beach. We can feed flocks of golf cracker jacks and daydream. We'll never go back and we'll dig clams for dinner and play beach volleyball games. As we pass, hit blocks like then shout in the seaside game. Nights we'll sit by the bonfire, roast marshmallows for s'mores, breathe prime perfume off the foamy sea. On a plum blanket you snuggling me, kiss and hug all night until sunrise. Go take a shower for two, nap then eat and head back again at the Jersey shore. Swim, tan, catch lobsters and crabs down the Jersey Shore. Sorry, Deb.
Well done, Lady A. Thanks, Kat.
I brought the pom-poms off there, Lady A.
Well,
I
hope you like
something,
it, Deb.
Something
I,
when you get
I,
asked
I tried hard.
No.
That was a good poem, though. It was a really good poem, and it was very lively. And I love anything that's beachy, anyways. And you made it real when you talked about just, you know, playing, being at the beach and playing volleyball and bonfires and s'mores and just enjoying that whole feeling of being at the beach, and I just loved it. What did you guys think? What did you think, AP?
No, I liked it a lot. The thing about singing something is it does give it a different feel. You know, it gives it a connection and a link. And so I understand why Deb wanted you to sing it, although I think it was a big ask, by the way. And I think it captured the what Deb loves, the beach and being next to the sea and the connection with people. And, you know, that's like I can see that being, you know, really, really tight to Deb.
Thank you. Thank you on his behalf. And Frank, what did you
think? Oh, first of all, a wonderful rendition there. I don't know if... emulated in the sense of if you were emulating someone there of the originals. I've heard this tune before, but I don't know who used to sing this. But it was breathtaking there. I think you did an excellent job there, Lady A. And I do appreciate this poem here, and actually a gent here from who's used to the sea itself. I appreciate this piece here. I do find myself often just being drawn so easily to references, poems of this nature, to the sea, the ocean, I've got these vivid images there of memories as well of the ocean. I mean, not so much the ocean, but the sea in particular. And I thought this piece was just, it had a bit of a fond attachment that I could certainly relate to, and I think all of us could when we got all the other. A wonderful experience as well, she mentioned here. I think the whole poem itself was the whole notion of the beauty of experiencing the beach in this poem was exemplified here.
Beautiful. She does a terrific writing anything, but she really, the beach is, she's really close to that, and it comes across in
I could tell she excels. She excels at this type of writing.
Yeah. And Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought I just spent the seventh inning at Yankee Stadium.
Are we going to have Hatter sing this for us? Hatter, are you going to sing that for us?
Am I? No. No, no.
Unlikely.
All right, Peter, give it a stab there. Why not, old boy?
I've done this.
Yeah, it's a great piece, Deb. Very well written. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to look and see, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think we've covered everybody in so far in the poem department.
Lady A.
Yeah, it was. Let me just check. Deb's been read. Stephen's been played. Frank has read his, and Gerald's been played, and you have, AP, you didn't read anything yet, or yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
But yeah,
and
I'm going to
read another Irish poem that I wrote about fairies and things, and because I lost my poem, unfortunately, as I said. So I'm going to see what I can find here. Let me see.
Can
and
I read
then
my
if
one
we
lady
want to
eight,
call it an
out?
Early night, we can. Or if you have another poem that you would like to read, we can do that as well. So that will be entirely up to you. And we can promote shows if we want to.
Yeah, we can do that. Lady A, mine's on the board.
Yes.
Did you want me to read it?
I'm sorry. There's your poem. Yes,
my
I do want
board.
You to read.
Yes.
I'm going to put mine in there, but don't be intimidated. It's going to be read after. Okay.
No, it's okay. Here we go. This is it's on topic, too, scarily enough. This
good.
Is Fashion from Nothing. And it goes a little bit like this. Beauty can be judged differently by each. Some look for mountains or others rivers. For many wide open spaces beseech, yet for me none of these give me shivers. As these just appear without but a touch, they are sitting there available and tall. I am fascinated instead where much has been fashioned from nothing at all. Here is a country smaller than New York, is an island that has no water of its own. Nothing seems to cause it to balk. Across decades, every year it has grown. Simply, it is well managed and efficient. About how few can we state this today? Pleasure to stay or simply transit, or to restaurants thin bars go and play. Countries could learn by observation and even aspire to do better far more. The jewel of Asia is the nation. Of course, there is only one Singapore in poem.
Wow. Now, what did you say about, let me see. That's a really a great piece. Let me see. What did you say about the water? I can't find it now.
In the third verse, country smaller than New York is an island that has no water of its own.
No water of its own? Okay, tell me about that.
It pumps it from Malaysia. It buys 80% of its water, fresh water from Malaysia, and pumps it down a pipe from the mainland into the island.
Oh, my goodness. Is that right? That's amazing.
Yep.
Holy cow.
It doesn't even have its own water. Much less any natural resources, because it's only 20 miles wide by 15 miles high. So it's got no natural resources, no water. It was a set of swamps, and now 4 million people live there, and it's got an economy bigger than most African states.
Wow. Now, don't. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do this first because I wanted to ask a silly question, but it's. I know it's not a silly question, but I thought it was a really great poem and certainly made even greater by that little bit of information. I never knew that, and that is utterly amazing. And how many people live on this island? You said 4 million?
No, it's actually more than that. It's 5.8.
Oh, my goodness. And no water. They have to pump it in. Wow.
No natural resources. There was absolutely
that
nothing there.
That is unbelievable. Wow. So what did you think of that, Hatter?
He might have gone.
Did he leave us? Yes, he did. He dropped. Frank, what did you think?
Well, I have to agree. I wasn't aware. I mean, I know something of Singapore, but I was not aware of those tidbits of information there. I have to say that it's remarkable that you can find countries with small in dimension, small in geography, I would say. Well, not geography, it's in its mass, its bulk. Yet it has tremendous population, is what I see from such a small little place. It does remind me of Uruguay or Uruguay, which is a small little, I mean, it's not really that big of a, it's a small little country as well, and it doesn't have much population. But it has its mystique, and this definitely has a mystique. It's a fascinating piece here. I mean, I am fascinated with Singapore. I've never been there, but it does sound like a place to visit after what I've read here and the way you describe its ambience there as well. It seems remarkable what the lifestyle would be for the typical individual, I would say citizen. I know it's multicultural, if I'm not mistaken. There's several languages now. I know Chinese is the, I would say Chinese predominates now, or does English?
Yeah, Chinese and Malay.
Malay, and so, yeah, that's what I thought. They're very much akin with the Malaysians and the Indonesians in that regard, not the language.
Yes.
Not the Chinese,
yes.
Of course.
I mean, I think the fascinating thing, though, is that, you know, Malaysia obviously is a population, you know, six times bigger, and as an economy, Singapore's bigger.
Yeah, that's what I get. It's remarkable. I mean, I have to say, Singapore's always been one of these places of that's fascinated me to curiosity, and fortunately, you've been there, so it's good that you offer us, for those who haven't been there, this type of scope for the area of the world that perhaps most of us will never venture, never see in person.
No, thank you, Frank. Thank you.
Wow, I just, I'm enthralled with this. And what I was thinking of was Hong Kong, going back in, I think it was 97, back to out of British rule, British hands, to back to mainland China. But the history of, I've just looked up the history of Singapore. It was an island originally inhabited by fishermen and pirates. And it served as an outpost for Sumatran Empire of Sri Java, or Javanese. So that's really interesting. It's a whole part of the world that you hear the word, but the name, but I've never really given it much thought, Singapore, you know, except for the Bing Crosby Road with Bob Hope, you know?
yeah, no, but in economic sense, Lady A, Singapore's as important to the world as Ireland or Denmark or South Africa or Norway, you know. It's a significant economy, and if they do it with no natural resources, on an island of less than 200 square miles.
Wow.
Quite a remarkable.
Did you know, this is just a little tidbit here, that in 1552, it was still a port of call from which St. Francis Xavier dispatched letters to Goa, or Goa, and described it as a ship. Activity and history. It's a wonderful thing to be able to look at these things and see what they were all about back in the day. And you know, the influence, the English influence it had, the Dutch influence it had. There was a lot of a lot of these small islands were pretty much taken over by Britain, really.
Colonies,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think I'm not certain who originally had Singapore. Was it the? I don't think it was. It wasn't England first. No, it was some. Was it the? Who had it? Was it the French or the Portuguese? I'm not sure.
Singapore.
No, Chinese. The Chinese. Yeah. The Chinese were the ones who populated, no?
Might have been
or the Malaysians.
It's only very small.
I'm sorry, Amy, what did you say?
Are you asking me?
AP, did you drop?
No, no, I'm still here.
Okay. We didn't hear what you said last. AP?
Oh no no no! I was just commenting on Frank's comment. So no, it's all good.
Oh. Okay.
I just said that I thought it was it was from China, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
Well, Singapore, the name. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding when you think of, like, say, Japanese. You have multi-syllable words in the language of Japanese, and in Chinese you have one-syllable words. And
but you're forgetting the Malaysian aspect.
So it must have been Malaysian first, and then China came into it. Is that how it happened? Because Singapore is certainly not a Chinese word.
No. It may well have been. I mean, I think the British were involved there at some point. But just to put it in context, Lady A, the Singapore Changi Airport was the 15th busiest airport in the world. And as a port, Singapore is the second busiest port in the world.
Is it?
It is.
Because I had that's interesting because I had read that, let me see if I get my facts straight here, that New Orleans was the second largest port next to Amsterdam, was it?
No, Singapore's massively bigger. I've been to New Orleans.
Is that right?
I've seen the ships there, and I've been to Singapore, and I've seen the ships there, and I'm here to tell you that Singapore's a little bigger. Huge.
Wow.
Huge.
I just got to say, I've got to run, my friend. It's almost midnight here, and I got to get up in the morning. Not because I have to do something in particular, but got to get a little bit of wee eyes asleep here.
it's all good.
Take care, my friends.
Thank you for calling in.
It's always fun. And it was great conversation we had here. I enjoy that.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Buenas noches.
Okay. Buenas noches. And AP, you're a brainiac because I'm seeing this now that the port of Shanghai is the biggest port in the world based on cargo. And then it is indeed Singapore. But all of those, and then Rotterdam, I knew Amsterdam was in there somewhere. They're down on the lower end of the 10.
Yes.
But they're all Asian ports that are the biggest ports in the world, other than Rotterdam.
No, they're huge, Lady A. You can look at the port of Singapore and you can look at what ships are coming in, yeah? And they're basically, it's huge. So, you've got 140,000
vessels annually.
Yeah. Well, at the minute, I can tell you right now, there are 483 vessels in port in Singapore there's 1,129 ships due in the next 24 hours, and there's 1,165 leaving.
Holy cow. Wow. And Shanghai has, let me see, 32.5 million 20-foot equivalent units in their cargo. And I'm just trying to see how many ships in port. 125 berths with a total length of 20 kilometers. Wow. So they serve more than 2,000 container ships on a monthly basis. On a monthly basis.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Isn't that amazing?
And these are decent ships too, bloody hell. They're not little babies. They're decent ships.
No.
They're
lots of stuff going on in there, eh? Holy cow.
Oh, it's a major port. Yep. So.
Very interesting. Very interesting. You know, the world is so, and you're lucky because you've seen a great part of the world, in, you know, and that's, I think, is really exciting, and it must be so interesting when you're looking back on the things that you have seen and done and experienced in those places, and certainly they would be a lot of very exciting and fun things that you've seen and done. Yeah. And,
I've been very, very, very lucky, Lady A. I've just put a little image up of Singapore and the ships, and every dot there is a boat, and in the middle there of all of those dots is Singapore.
Let me go back.
If you look on the board. Just look on the board, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's amazing. And it's such a tiny place.
It's a small place, and it's just completely surrounded by boats. You come in, it's a Changi Airport, and you basically come over the bay on the southern side, and you would come over 250 boats just sitting in the water tied up. It's a remarkable.
That's amazing. I'd like to chat with you about something, if I could, but we can't do it on here.
Sure.
What would be the best way to do, to have a little chat?
Well, why don't we end the show and then have a chat after the show, Claudio?
How do we do that? I don't know how to do that.
Oh, I can give you a buzz. How about that? If you text me your number, I'll call you.
Okay, I'll send it to you on AP. And a private message.
Yep.
I'll send you my number. Okay,
yep.
Great.
Yep. Fine.
So we'll call it a night, and I thank you so much for calling in. And I just, like, give me 2 seconds here. I want to thank Sweet and Deborah and Frank and Hatter and you and me. And it was an interesting evening, and I appreciate all of you, and thank you so very much. And with that, I bid you adieu and bonsoir, mes amis. Thank you for those that are listening in. And I hope you enjoyed the show as well. So good night, everyone.
Thanks, buddy. Have fun. Talk soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.